Lord Jesus, help us tonight to enter into the power of your word. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be instructed that the blindness of this world may be taken away, that we can truly begin to see the joy, the excitement, and the peace, Father God, that you have brought into this world through the Lord Jesus Christ. That the grace and the mercy that's come into this world came into this world through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father God, help us tonight to enter into the reality of Jesus. Father, that you may be glorified through all that we do. And everyone said,
Amen.
All right. Some of you, I can see, wasn't here last night. So I will just give a brief refresher from George Martin's book, Reading Scriptures, the Word of God. Because without a knowledge of what we're doing tonight, unless you know who it's for, it really doesn't have an impact. And the Word of God is to impact each one of us. It's to change us individually. It's to bring us into the image of Almighty God. Page 54, it says, as we begin our reading of Scripture, we should take the approach that what I'm reading is written to me. In other words, all of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, was written for my benefit. Now, if I don't have an understanding and a working knowledge of Scripture, my dear brothers and sisters, it says that I have no faith. Faith comes from what is preached, and what is preached comes from the Word of God. Faith is built in the Word as we decide to live the Word. If we're not living the Word, there's no faith. You can't have faith without the Word of God being exercised and obeyed in your life. On page 6, it says, what is sacred for us about sacred Scripture is that through the words of Scripture, we can listen to the words of God, and that through listening to and obeying the Word of God, we can be transformed into His image. We've had a kind of a general discussion all day about blessings and curses. And it started at the dinner table tonight, and we've just kind of been talking about our relationship with the world. And now this is strictly my attitude. This is my viewpoint. Doesn't necessarily have to affect anyone else in the whole world but me, because this is not scriptural. This is just my viewpoint. But Scripture clearly states that when Adam and Eve fell from grace, God cursed the world. He cursed it. You ever notice how easy it is for weeds to grow and how hard we have to work to make tomatoes grow? Well, that's the difference. We got to work at what we to make a living. That's not the way God intended it when it came into this world. Now, in the Old Testament, God promised us a Redeemer. He promised us to remove the curse. He promised us eternal life. He promised us joy beyond anything that we could imagine. He promised that. So here comes Jesus and brings to the world redemption, peace, joy, excitement, holiness, righteousness, healing. All of the wonderful things that were taken away from us in the curse, God brought them back to us. The only problem is He didn't bring them to the whole world. He brought them to us individually. He made them available for the whole world, but only those that will reach in through the Word of God will be blessed with the grace. Only those that are transformed into the image of God experience that wonderful joy and the excitement of this world. Folks, the excitement of this world is not a vacation or a trip up the mountain peak. It's just not. The excitement and the joy of this world is knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and knowing that in me there lives eternal life. And I'm going to tell you, nothing else matters. Now, I want you to listen to the curse that we live under today, which we make reference to as a blessing. I want you to listen very carefully. I didn't know I was going to preach this tonight. But we'll let you make your decision whether you're being blessed or cursed. Amen?
Amen.
See, all good things come from God. All good things. Now, I want you to listen to the blessing and the curse and see which one you think lives the curse and which one lives the blessing. It said, there was a rich man. Who are we reading this to?
Me.
Are you sure? All right, now, another thing I want you to do is to put yourself into a category. And there's only two categories, saved and the unsaved. Those that are on their way to heaven and those that are on their way to that other place. There's only Christian or pagan. You don't have three categories in the world. You got two. Amen?
Amen.
All right, it says, there was a rich man who used to, don't do it no more, but he used to, dress in purple and fine linen, and he feasted magnificently every day. Would you say that is a blessing? Huh? Wouldn't we say that's a wonderful blessing? Well, think about it. He ate magnificently every day, filled up his old gillet, wore a suede jacket, had nice shoes. I mean, he dressed magnificently every day. Wouldn't you say that was a blessing, sister?
Yep.
Big blessing. I want y'all to listen now. We're talking about blessing and curses. We're talking about when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, God cursed the world and everything in it. Now, when he came, he brought the mercy of God back into this world. He brought reconciliation back into this world. He brought into this world salvation. And I want you to listen to the message that brings us into the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It said, at his gate there lay a poor man called Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to fill himself from the scraps from the rich man's table. Now, would you say that old boy was living in a curse? He was cursed, pitiful, hungry, filled with sores, anxious. He was miserable. You would say that's a curse, wouldn't you? Wouldn't we? Y'all ain't talked, some of you ain't talked yet. Either it's a curse or a blessing, isn't it? All right, now, what I want to do to get it, I want all of those that would put themselves in the category of Lazarus to raise your hand. You're the poor man.
I'm a poor man.
You're hungry? You don't have a place to sleep. You have absolutely no food, and you're waiting for your neighbor to drop some food into the garbage can so you can eat. What I'm looking for now, I'm looking for a category. Either one or the other. Which category can we place ourselves in? Do we place ourselves with the rich man or the poor man? Say it again.
Rich man.
Say it again.
Rich man.
All right. I want to get that point across. Because when you can eat, listen, when you can feed your faith, whenever you're hungry, not at meal time, but whenever you want to eat, you're a rich man. Anytime that you can eat, whenever you want, that's rich. Rich rich. It just is, folks. It's not what you got saved up in your account or the property that you own. It's the fact that you're able to eat. All right, now I want you to listen very carefully. It says, the dog even came and licked his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. Would you say that was a blessing or a curse? It was a blessing. It says, the rich man died also and was carried and was buried. In his torment in Hades, he looked up and saw Abraham a long way off with Lazarus in his bosom. So he cried out, Father Abraham, pity me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in cool water to cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames. Would you say that's a curse or a blessing? All right. Now, we've just placed ourselves in a category. Haven't we? Yeah. Now, I want you to listen. This is serious. Folks, this is life and death. But you see, I live in this. I constantly am barraged with this. I'm constantly being moved into this area. The rich man went to hell. Didn't we all say we were rich? Yeah. I'm just going to show you. Now you see, you said your wealth is a blessing. Your wealth is a blessing. But it puts you in hell. And that's not a blessing. Anything that'll stick you in the pit is not a blessing. Amen. Amen. Now the poor man that died, I want to get some of you folks that are these born-again people. Boy, I tell you, you know this poor man that lay at the gate didn't say anything about him knowing anything about God. Did it? All it said was he longed to be filled. He yearned. He hungered. Folks, did you ever read probably some of you hadn't, so I won't even... Folks! Well, I'll just read it. My son Abraham replied, remember that during your life good things came your way. Folks, do we live in that situation? Don't you consider ourselves good things coming our way? Kentucky Fried Chicken? McDonald's? I mean, you can just slide off the road anywhere. Exit. Choo, pull up there in your big old slicker and order a hamburger.
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Well, of course. Nothing to it. I mean, and put it on a little plastic card. Ain't that right, brother? Now, can't you do that?
Well, I don't have any.
Now, don't you, you know, I mean, let's be honest. All right, listen. It says that remember that during your life, good things came your way, just as bad things came to the way of Lazarus. Bad things came to the way of Lazarus. Do you know God is the God, giver of both? Do you know that? He is the God of both roads. And he says, choose which road you'll take. I am absolutely convinced today, for those that hunger, listen carefully, for those that are hungering, for those that long and are suffering and are dying because their physical bodies can't be fed, I am absolutely convinced that through the Lord Jesus Christ, by His power that He took to that cross, the death that He beat on that cross, that He has the power to take a person that yearned and longed and hungered all of his life, even though he may not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that Jesus paid a price for him because of his hungering, his longing, his desire to be filled. God took him to heaven. That's what Jesus died for. The Sermon on the Mount. That ought to be a dead giveaway. Blessed are the poor. See, Lazarus was a poor man. Blessed are the poor. It didn't say, cursed are the poor. It's blessed are the poor. Amen.
Amen.
Now, folks, I fit in this category too. I ate a meal tonight that would have fed 15 people. I'm going to tell you, over in Ethiopia, I'd have said 15 people could have ate what I ate for dinner. Been sufficient. Scallops and shrimp, haddock, second helping, third helping, whew, and king crab claws. And then they gave me graham cracker crust chocolate pie with coffee. And I just rode back to y'all know what I'm talking about? Remember that during your life, good things came your way just as bad things came the way of Lazarus. Now he is being comforted while you are in agony. And he said, Abraham kindly rubbed it in at this point. He said, that's not all. He said, a great gulf has been fixed between you and me. A great gulf has been fixed to stop anyone from coming from your side to ours or from our side to yours. There's a gulf that's been fixed, and you can't get across. Don't even try to pray yourself across because you can't make it. Don't burn no candles. Candles won't get you over. I'm going to tell you, folks, the Word of God must be preached in our church to remove the dimness and the confusion and the curse that we think that we're living in a blessing.
Amen.
Tell them, sister. I'll pat my foot. Amen. People don't like to hear this. Now, I'm going to tell you, it makes people uncomfortable. The rich man replied. Now, I want you to listen to this even more closely. It said, the rich man replied, Father, I beg you then to send Lazarus to my father's house. Now, Lazarus is dead, but he's in heaven. He's got the freedom of the Spirit to move around. He said, send him down to my father's house to give them warning so they do not come to this place of torment. His whole family was on their way to Smokinville. Hot Rock City. Amen. The whole family. He said, look, do something. Send somebody. Send Lazarus back from the dead so that they will be able to repent, so that they'll turn from their selfishness, so that they'll turn from their arrogant ways and their boastful ways and their conceited ways. Send somebody from the dead. And this is the sad part about this, folks. You know, I preach this every week, and it don't affect nobody, but I preach it anyhow. It says, then Abraham said to him, if they would not listen to Moses nor the prophets, they will not even be convinced if someone should be raised from the dead. We've got Jesus that's been raised from the dead. We got no excuse. You see, what we've done, we've taken our wealth and we've stored it up and we've heaped it up. You've heard me talk this week about true treasures. Jesus said, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, because where your treasure is, there's your heart also. What we've done, we've put our hearts into the things of this world, and this world is coming to an end. We put our sights And our whole life is geared into the beauty of this world and into the joy that we can get out of this world. And God said, in that, I'm going to tell, let me just give you this example. I'm glad I'm able to preach this tonight and it's not open for discussion. Take a man that's starving to death and walk him through Vermont and let him tell you how beautiful it is. He'd say, this is the crummiest place in the whole world, because he's starving. He ain't looking at the mountains. He can't see the flowers. He can't look at them. Man, he's hungry. He can't see them. He doesn't see the beautiful Lake Champlain. He can't see all the beautiful winding roads because he's starving to death. I'm glad y'all will laugh at it, because, you know, we're really trapped, aren't we? We're in a mess. I'm going to tell you, we're in a mess. Because, you see, Jesus has come. God Almighty himself went to the cross, paid a price so that we could live like him, and in him we would live forever. Jesus was never selfish. He was never arrogant, nor was he conceited, nor boastful, nor jealous. And he offered himself as a living sacrifice to the body, that the body might be saved for those that will live in him. And it is by the word that we live in him. It's by the word. And you remember the parable. Well, it wasn't a parable. It was one of the lawyers that asked Jesus this question. He said, which is the greatest commandment? Y'all remember that? And Jesus said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. Now what he said? To love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, thy mind, and thy soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. My relationship with God depends on my relationship with my brother. And Jesus identified the brother as one that you can see. I want to tell you, every one of us have seen those people starving in Ethiopia. Haven't we? Haven't we seen it with our own eyes? They brought it right into our living room. Where? There is no excuse. Folks, this is dead serious. Well, we've got Jesus to give us warning. We've got somebody that was raised from the dead. We've got somebody that's come and told us. And you know the amazing thing in our wealth? Do you know that in our wealth, we can't see anybody else's need, because a wealthy person can never get wealthy enough. They're always looking for more. They're never satisfied. They're digging. See, that's a curse. It's a curse of greed. If we're going to live for Jesus and live with him, we will live in a spirit of generosity. We will live in a commitment to one another. You see, my whole mission is to preach this gospel to the whole world. I came in here night before last and I said, how many of you would volunteer for a year to support this ministry at $10 a month so that we get 800 people together? We can go on the PTL network so that this gospel can be preached from the Catholic side, under the authority of the bishop side, under the submission obedience from the pastor side, so that the world can begin to hear the true gospel of Jesus. Do you know how many people volunteered? 11. 11. So it's got to show you where our interest is. I'm talking about $10 a month. Nothing. I'm not talking about $1,000 a month. Nothing. To see that our word of God could be preached. Jesus said, unless it's preached, how will they hear? The sickest people in the world today live in this country because we are physically so fat that we can't see the need. Mother Teresa, y'all remember what she said? She said, we're just fat cats, but we are spiritually starved to death. Got no spirituality at all. None. And she's right. Just calling it like it is. And you know, we still sit on it. We ain't gonna get off of it. We'll nest it out. Let this thing grow. Eat your hide up too, brother. That it just eats, it consumes us. Listen to this. It says a member of one of the leading families put this question to Jesus. Good master. You know how they'll always do that? Good Charlie. Or my good brother. I want y'all, don't ever call anybody else good. Oh, they're good people. So good. Good for what? I can just feel it up. You know, it's almost like I feel bricks hitting me. Folks, I didn't write this. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I just made a decision a few years ago to begin and to try to live it. And I'm not going to tell you it's easy. It says, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Wouldn't you say that's a pretty good question? Huh? Isn't that what you're all looking for? I can't imagine you coming here and not looking for eternal life. I can't imagine anybody coming here just to criticize me for what I preach. I would think if you would come out here and sit for a whole hour, you would at least be looking for eternal life. And this brother asked, he was from a well-to-do family. He was from one of the wealthy families. Your family, my family, your family, your family, your family. He was from a well-to-do family, two-car garage family, with a snowmobile. Kind of family did he come from? He was a wealthy man. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. So the next time you go around calling people good, just know that there's no one good but God alone. People walk up to me and say, oh, he's a good man. It's all I can do to hold my tongue. There's only one good. There's only one that has total and complete compassion, generosity, unconditional love, and that's the Master. And then he made a statement to this rich man. He said, you know the commandments? How many of you know the commandments? We all know them, don't we? You've never been able to live them, but you know them. And we still teach them. Nobody can live them, but we still teach them. And we go out and break them and break, 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 break. Don't we? But you see, God's had mercy. The law was given to show us that we couldn't live it. Nobody ever been able to live it but Jesus. It says, and then Jesus quoted him just a few of them. He said, you must not commit adultery. You must not kill. You must not steal. You must not bring false witness. Honor your father and your mother. He replied. And this the rich man, he said, the rich man replied. I imagine he kind of interrupted him. He said, I've kept all of these from my very earliest days until now. I've kept them. Notice that this man was a wealthy man. You know how in the Old Testament it teaches that we tithe 10%? How many of y'all ever heard that before? Give 10% of your tithes to God. Did y'all hear that? Y'all ever hear that?
Yeah.
Say yes.
Yeah.